Delighted to wish each of you a happy new year and a happy epiphany. And to summer, I would say, we're not allowed to endorse candidates in church. That's against the rules, but you got it. We're making the bumper stickers this afternoon. That image, the image of summer in the Oval Office. Imagine that. It'd be fun. Speaking of images, it's not just that image, but when we read the scriptures for this morning of the Magi coming to Bethlehem, that as much as any other story, that story gives images. It just presents itself in images. We see it in creches all over, and perhaps in your home as well, of the wise men coming. When I read this scripture, I see images, pictures, snapshots, visuals. I thought about starting off by saying I'm seeing things, but I thought that might be a little alarming for some of you. But there are sometimes a passage of Scripture gives us images to sit with as much as anything else. And this story, the story of the Magi, is one such story, rich with visual images both from the text itself and the tradition and our imagination of what this caravan must have looked like. I hope you'll notice at some point in the narthex a piece of art from the artist John August Swanson, which was given to us last year as a gift for the Epiphany season. It's a beautiful, colorful depiction of this caravan. Not all of us are artists, but some of us are in different ways. I know many of you create art. Some of you even do it during the sermon. Now, some may say that's just doodling, but it's not doodling. I've seen what you do. It's channeling. Creating is what you're doing. You're creating images from the words that themselves are drawn from images. And so as I suggest a couple of images this morning and in the coming weeks, I'd love to see what you create. And we'd love to have your images if you're so inclined to share with us. We'd love to have them in the narthex in the weeks to come. They don't have to be professional art. I've seen what you do. It's beautiful. Some of you who create art during the worship services. So images are on my mind. There are many in Epiphany, but I want to offer two to set before us this morning for our reflection today. And I think in some yet unknown way for this year ahead of us, something tells me that these are going to stay with us. Two images are pilgrimage and threshold. Pilgrimage. The journey of the Magi to Bethlehem was a journey to see the newborn King of Israel. Guided by the light of a star in the sky, Magi traveled far from the east to see the newborn King. It was a journey with purpose, even if they didn't know exactly where the journey would end. As you know, they thought it would end in Jerusalem at Herod's palace, only to discover that Bethlehem was their true destination. Their venture wasn't just a trip or a vacation, it was in many ways a pilgrimage, an intentional journey toward a sacred destination. The destination is the point, but the purpose isn't just to check off a goal on a list. On pilgrimage, the journey is just as important as the end goal. How you get there as important as where you're going. Pilgrimage is inward as much as outward. Not all of us can go to Bethlehem like the Magi. I went 20 years ago and still have fond and favorite memories of the cave under the Church of the Nativity and shepherds still on the hills of Judea. But not all of us can make such a journey to Bethlehem or Jerusalem, to Rome or Assisi, to Taizé or Lindisfarne. Travel to distant locations is a privilege to those who are able to make it. It's a significant undertaking and one to be valued and treasured. But one doesn't have to travel to distant locations for Christian pilgrimage to shape our lives. The church itself, the church we have prayed blessing over, the church represents a pilgrimage journey. Have you ever thought of it like this? In church architecture, for example, the center aisle or the road forward is a symbol. It's a symbol of the length of a life. The center aisle of a church is itself a pilgrimage journey. It's a symbol of the life of all creation, of all humanity, of the church as a community and of each individual person. The journey of life and the floor of a church calls to our minds other significant journeys in biblical faith. Abraham, trusting that he would find the promised land. The Jews as a people as they wandered on Exodus from Egypt, struggling to achieve liberation from oppression. Christ's journey to the cross, to resurrection. All of these come together as we recall His words to us, "Follow me." Every time we come to church, we can imagine our personal journey as a cosmic pilgrimage. For some of us, just getting here is an act as heroic as wise men riding camels from the east. Let's see how many toddlers the wise men strapped into their car camel seats, or how many of them were negotiating back pain and walkers. A Sunday morning pilgrimage here can be a labor of spiritual love, with emphasis on some days on labor. Wherever we've come from and however we got here, when we turn off the highway onto Renewal Way, the long path of disorientation begins as we leave behind the rush and hurry of our 70-mile-an-hour lives to enter a peaceful, welcoming pace and place. Disorientation from that world makes possible a new orientation as we move through the doors and the narthex into the sanctuary, and then on so many Sundays are beckoned forward to the cross and the table. Some of us, especially some of the young and nimble among us, go even further, past the sanctuary, deeper into the campus, into the woody paths behind the church, while their parents pray they meet God there and not God's little biting creatures. But mostly they pray they don't have to go looking for Him when it's time to go. The Sunday journey down the way of renewal, through the narthex of transition, down the aisle to the altar, is a pilgrimage we each take individually and we take together. The only thing is, and this is worth saying for sure, is that an uninterrupted line like the center aisle of a church or a straight way of renewal doesn't begin to adequately capture how life actually works. Life is full of twists and turns and ups and downs and detours, and for most of us, like the Magi, more than a few wrong turns. Even the mystics missed their mark by 9 miles. The spiritual journey is not a straight line. It is not a conveyor belt. The artists and architects who built the Chartres Cathedral in France understood this hundreds of years ago. Into the floor of the center aisle of the massive Gothic cathedral, they inlaid stone, not in a straight line, but in the shape of a labyrinth. A labyrinth is like a maze. When you come to a labyrinth, all you need to do is choose to start. Enter the labyrinth and then persevere to the end, no matter how far the twisting path seems to be taking you from your goal. This kind of road symbolizes a human life with all its difficulties and failures and the common feeling of being lost. At the center of the labyrinth is Christ and the soul's core as it meets and finds itself in Christ. Pilgrims have come to Chartres for 800 years, not just because it's a beautiful cathedral, which it absolutely is, but because there in the floor of the cathedral, they found a representation in stone of the truth of their lives. It's not a straight line, but it leads somewhere holy and good and true. All of life is a pilgrimage. Every step matters. Every step, whether it's like the twists of a labyrinth to the center or the road of a church's center aisle from Alpha to Omega, from beginning to end. So that's the first image, pilgrimage. Life is a holy journey. The image asks us to ask ourselves, what is our next step and how will we take it? The second image, led to by the first, is threshold. Along the way on any journey, we pass through thresholds. A threshold is simply the bottom of a doorway, which is simply the opening of a wall through which we pass from one space to another. But thresholds are not just in wood and stone, but also in space and time. New years and new decades are kinds of thresholds through which we pass from one time into another. On the pilgrimage of coming to church, we pass through a series of thresholds in space and time. From the highway to Renewal Way, there's one kind of threshold in space. Through the front doors of the church, open wide to receive you and often flanked by smiling greeters glad to see you. And they really are. The whole narthex itself is a kind of threshold, a whole room for this purpose. A narthex is a space of transition from the world to the sanctuary and back again. You may have noticed the large iron artwork mounted on the wall of the narthex is full of Christian symbols, all kind of hidden and revealed, all kind of unsorted, but all present. It's not a world of disorder, but a world in transition. The thread running through the art symbolically extends from door to door in the room, tying together our lives in the world and our lives together in the sanctuary. As John Chrysostom once said, the liturgy that we celebrate here and the liturgy of our lives as we live them day to day. We come through the narthex and then we enter the sanctuary, the place where we gather for worship. Baptists are fond of saying the church isn't the building, but it's the people. We say that a lot. It's not the building, it's the people. It's true enough, but let us also confess that the room shapes us. Shapes our worship, which shapes our lives, which shapes our spirituality. It shapes our community. And this is a good thing. We know one another as sinners and saints, as brothers and sisters in Christ, through the space in which we gather and through what we do there when we gather. The words and the water. Well, I mean, for us, the water's outside, but you get the idea. It's the things we do here. The songs, the silence, the stone, the windows, the bread and the wine and the press of hands. May the peace of Christ be with you. And yet there's even more. We would be mistaken to limit the experience of church life to crossing the front door's threshold to enter the space where all the action is. This too, even this, is also a kind of narthex that leads to another threshold. This threshold is not bound to a particular space, but we particularly come to it when we come forward many Sundays to the Eucharist, where we find another door swinging open to us. Romano Guardini writes, "The altar is a great mystery whose meaning is probably most clearly suggested by two images, that of threshold and table." Threshold is door, and that has a double significance, border and crossing over. It indicates where one thing ends and another thing begins. The border that marks the end of the old makes possible entry into the new. As a threshold, the altar creates first of all the border between the realm of the world and the realm of God. The end of the old making possible entry into the new. Is this not why we make the pilgrimage journey to church at whatever cost it is to us on a given day? Is this not what we're seeking in Christ after all? This is why we come, to seek the one in whom one thing ends and another begins. Someone told me recently about her church experience in a place far from here as they bounced from suburban, wealthy megachurch to megachurch. In the course of the story, I heard about fantastic praise bands and about 60-minute sermons. She told me of incredible children's ministries, an elaborate visitor parking lot organization. She's a person who generally likes all that stuff, the easy convenience and lively entertainment of modern church production. She told me, in the church we're going to now, they have communion set on side tables, tables on the side of the room. During one of the songs, you can go up to it and take it if you want to, but it's never part of the service. As she was explaining that, I confess I was half listening, still thinking about 60-minute sermons and about teenagers driving golf carts to shuttle first-time visitors to the front doors. Neither of those can be a good idea, right? So I confess I was only half listening when she said, to my surprise, "I miss communion." But then I sat up straight. She said, "I wish I could take it every week. I need it. It's there that I find that I confess my sins and walk away feeling like God has forgiven me and that I can change my life." I realized in her story, even with all that other stuff that can surround church life, we're all looking for that threshold. We all need it. And the altar is a threshold for many people, the opening to a mystical experience. Church gives us this at the altar, in our songs, in the silence, in the longed-for greeting from someone at the front door who didn't know how badly you needed to hear someone say, "I'm glad to see you." We all need it. Gordini writes, "Threshold is not only borderline, it's also crossing over. One can step over it into an adjacent room, or, standing on it, receive Him who comes from the other side. It is something that unites, a place of contact and encounter." The essence of Revelation is the news that God loves us. God's love is not simply the love we find in ourselves infinitely intensified. Inconceivable mystery, it had to be revealed. An unheard-of act that we can begin to fathom only when it is clear to us who God is and who we are. Its real expression is to be found in the tremendous event of the Incarnation, when God abandoned His sacred reserve, came to us, became one of us, sharing with us human life and human destiny. Now He is with us, on our side. On your side. Such is His love. And it creates a nearness that we alone could have never conceived. Everyone seeks such a mystical experience. A moment when, to use the language of a building, a door swings open. The door shuts again, sooner rather than later. But we have seen, even if only through a crack, the light behind it. And that's enough. It's perhaps more common to think of time events as thresholds as we pass from 2019 into 2020, from the 10s into the 20s. But this space is also a threshold, all of it, from the doors to the narthex and the altar, all of it, all of this space blessed today by your prayers. All of it, the road to the trees, I pray over this place that this is sacred threshold in all your goings and comings, your cleanings and your mowings, your prayings and your singings, your confessings and your communings. Margaret Visser writes exactly right. Now, a church knows perfectly well that it cannot induce in anyone a mystical experience. But what it does is acknowledge such experience as any of its visitors has had as explicitly as it can. A church is a recognition in stone and wood and brick of spiritual awakenings. It nods to each individual person. It constitutes a collective memory of spiritual insights, of thousands of mystical moments. A church reminds us of what we have known, and it tells us that the possibility of the door swinging open again remains. Threshold. We stand on the threshold of holy encounter right here. Just as clearly as they were when they came to the house where they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And there, they fell down and worshiped him and opened their treasures to give the gifts they brought with them on the way. And then they went home by another way, which I think means they were avoiding Herod, which was prudent, certainly. But I think it also may mean something else. Going home by another way, I think, means not only that the route was changed, but that they were as well. They made the journey. They crossed the threshold. They encountered Christ and worshiped him. And when they departed for home, they did so as changed people. May it be for all God's children who need him and call upon his name. May we be renewed in our faith, in our hope, our love for God and for one another in Christ's name on this pilgrim way. Amen.